There are a couple other oxygen carriers besides silver, and of course the better known one, hemoglobin. There's also MSM and vitamin C. Now, vitamin C, according to Aaron Murakami, turns into a oxidizer, a free radical, once it gives up its, I think, electron or hydrogen, whatever it is. So although it's an antioxidant, it becomes a minor oxidizer. A minor one of note, not something terribly dangerous, but a minor one all the same. Now, MSM loses its oxygen to become a DMSO when it gives it up to the cells of the body, who need the oxygen. But then the DMSO goes back to the lungs and picks up more oxygen and becomes MSM again. So I guess that's another instance of oxidation reduction. But MSM, short of being metabolized or flushed out of the body, keeps getting reused over and over again, like a short-term catalyst, I suppose we could call it. A short-term oxygen carrier. So having MSM and vitamin C in the blood helps the hemoglobin do its job, takes some of the load off. But it also takes some of the load off for the silver, because the silver is going to be using oxygen to kill pathogens. That means, well, MSM may not kill pathogens, but at least it can increase the ability for oxygen to be in solution. Not dissolved oxygen into the water, but oxygen molecularly bound to the MSM as an extra oxygen atom. I mean extra with regard to DMSO, at any rate. So DMSO is MSM minus one oxygen atom. It's deficient. So taking MSM is a safe, cheap way to take DMSO, in a sense. I've always considered that as a possibility. So the value of DMSO, is in its immediate use. Getting something carried into the body. That first trip. Because once it gets into the body, guess what? It turns into MSM, along with DMS, that stinks, and a few other sidebar molecules. But be that as it may. So the complementation to the use of silver, let's say silver colloid in the bath water, now there are three active ingredients then, besides the various salts and diatomaceous earth that you can put in, or anything else, essences, you know, turpentine, whatever. The three main ingredients are silver colloid, MSM, and hydrogen peroxide. Now we've got three active ingredients. Now, I would not want to drink hydrogen peroxide. That's the last thing I want to drink. And I don't even make use of silver colloid anymore. I just stick two silver electrodes, one in my mouth and one up my butt. But I had a pain in my butt a few minutes ago, and I thought it through, and I realized I lack sulfur. I had made use of those SAL3, that's SAL3, soap bars from Amazon that have 10% sulfur and about 1.5% aspirin the last few days, and they're kind of nice. But I didn't do that today. I took a shower and I didn't use that soap. And I laid and I started having this pain in my butt, and I thought, oh, it must be due to the silver electrode I put in my butt. But not because silver's bad, but because it was sensitizing me to some sort of imbalance that I had been ignorant of. And now I can see what the imbalance was. I lacked sulfur in my diet. I'm eating more beans, I'm eating lots of black beans, that's good, but it's still not enough sulfur to satisfy my needs. kelp has a certain amount of sulfur, but I need more. And so consequently, and I like broccoli, but I need more. So MSM is going to supply me with all the sulfur that I efficiently need, a very efficient way to take it. Now, I don't like the flavor of MSM. I've been putting MSM crystals when I boil rice, but I'm not cooking rice anymore. I'm eating potatoes and beans, so I really have to go back to using capsules of MSM instead of the powder. But at least now I see the significance. This whole issue of oxygen, MSM, silver, hydrogen peroxide, and to a lesser degree, vitamin C, because I think I really have to take buffered vitamin C. I don't know. Well, maybe not. But just if I take straight non-buffered vitamin C. I have to be careful I don't take too much because my stomach is kind of sensitive. But MSM is good too. You know, we need a certain amount of vitamin C, but as an oxygen carrier, vitamin C therapy sucks by comparison to MSM because, you know, there's side effects to taking megadoses of vitamin C. While with MSM, what a side effect is there? You lose your wrinkles over in the course of a few months? Not a bad side effect, I'd say. But I haven't been able to keep it up. And I think it's because in the past, I didn't have the intelligence to keep it up. Instead, I lacked the intelligence to keep it up, and instead I had the intelligence to keep up bad habits, like sugar, for instance. So I'm developing all these new habit patterns based on my experience of these sessions in Robert Obecker's circuit applied to the body seven times, seven different instances of his circuit, plus the earthing, enhancement grounded to the earth. But and now the silver electrode up my butt in my mouth, it's changing my consciousness with regard to how I take care of myself. It's actually improving my intelligence, so I do a better job. And that's what we have not to fear of Argyria, is greater intelligence. So if you want to be dumbed down like the powers that be want us to be, because I know what school is like, even just 10 years after I left high school, my mom was a substitute teacher for the LA Unified School District, and believe me, the schools went down just in those 10 years, between the 1970s and the 1980s, or 90s for that matter. School sucks because they want us to be dumb. So if you want to be dumb, then stay away from silver. And oh my god, don't turn blue! But if you want to be smart and take better care of yourself and your loved ones, then sure, run the risk of turning blue. But so what? You know, when there's a cure for it anyway. All it is a risk, and it's not even toxic, even if you came down with it. Big deal. How many times? I've got to go over this a few times because I want to make sure I drive the point home. Silver improves the intelligence of how we take care of ourselves. Because why? And I'll tell you the spiritual or the philosophical, the metaphysical reason why. Charlie Lutz taught us that the soul is connected to it has two connections. It has what's called a silver beam and a gold beam. And it's a beam of principle, let's say, for the moment. You know, it's not a... Actually, Charlie called it a thread, too. Sometimes it's called a silver thread in popular metaphysical nomenclature. But he called it a beam, I believe. Any rate, which is probably more accurate. The silver thread, or beam, connects the soul with the body at the heart. So when the Chinese were overrunning Tibet, those monks who elected not to leave with the Dalai Lama, who elected to stay behind, they were taught a technique whereby they can sever the silver cord. See, that's another phrase. Sever the silver cord and die, so as not to be subjected to the torture that the Chinese were famous for at that time, or infamous for at that time. I'm sure they don't do that anymore. But at the time, that's what they were infamous for. So they were taught this technique to sever connection with the body and just drop the body. Is that suicide? I don't know. Maybe not. You know, how do the Lords of Karma view the situation? I don't know. Be that as it may, the other cord, so-called cord, the gold beam, connects the soul to the higher self. And the higher self is not the divine self, but it is a godlike self that is our ideal. If God were to walk upon the face of the planet inside our nervous system, inside our mind, inside our heart, inside our body, how would God talk? How would God think? How would God feel? The higher self is the epitome of that, the answer to that question. But it is not the divine self. It is mortal, just like the soul is, although a lot more long-lived than the soul, and the soul is a lot more long-lived than we are. That still does not mean that they are immortal. They're mortal. The divine transcendental self, though, is immortal. And that's even greater and surpasses the higher self. But the soul is connected to those two entities. Now, the mind, according to Ayurveda, is located in the heart, while the intellect, according to Ayurveda, is located within the brain. And according to Charlie Lutz, the mind thinks, the intellect decides. So when the light is on and nobody's home, it could mean one of two things, or both. It could mean either you're not thinking, or you're not making decisions, too. Maybe you're doing a lot of thinking and worrying, but not making a decision. Anyway, so Charlie would always bring this up when I was working with jewelry. I was making handmade necklaces out of precious and semi-precious stones and Rudraksha beads and various items of interest, and he always had me work with gold. He always had me stay away from silver. Now, I was limited in my expense, so I had to get gold fill wire, which is basically, I think it's brass or something like that, electroplated with a thin veneer of gold. So on the outside it was gold, but inside it was something else. And it was cheap, you know. I could get that. But he didn't want me dealing with copper either. Just gold. When it came to the metals, gold was the only choice that he wanted me to work with. Now, according to Robert O. Becker, I find out that silver is more efficacious than is gold in killing pathogens. Silver will kill all of them within 20 to 30 minutes, while gold will kill most of them, but not all of pathogens. So for that reason, I haven't had any interest in spending the money, which I could have, you know, if I wanted to, get some gold wire and make for myself some colloidal gold solution. Or for that matter, stick gold electrodes up my butt and in my mouth. You know, when you think about it, that doesn't sound like such a bad idea. In fact, I could combine the silver and the gold, because then that would augment both properties of the soul. And I think that's what he was going for, was that, because see, we may think that our soul is untarnished from our physical actions, but it does accumulate our actions, even though it stands as an objective witness to them without getting directly involved. And it's the repository of all of our actions over so many lifespans. And those experiences, as they accumulate within our soul, creates a legacy that spans lifespans. And that legacy imparts a great impression upon the next incarnation. So it matters what we do, because it's all going to be added to what was done before by other personalities who made use of our soul. So what are we contributing? What are we doing to contribute to the development of our soul, the character of our soul? So if we spend a lot of time on silver, when we should be putting our attention on gold, you know, then I'd be making a mistake. Now, why would that be a mistake for me? Because I'm not a young soul, I'm an old soul. A lot of us are old souls. But most of the majority of this planet are young souls because they're native to this planet. They did not originate on Maldek. Prior episode, I made mention of that. A minority of this population originated on Maldek and other places such as the Pleiades or whatever. Although in that instance, they probably had a golden ratio sodium chloride-based planet. But Maldek was a sulfate world. I'm guessing sodium ammonium sulfate, but be that as it may, it was a different aesthetic theme. It was not the golden ratio, it was probably the Pell ratio, or the ratio derived from the Pell series of numbers, Jonathan Pell. P-E-L-L, he had a number series similar to the Fibonacci series, but it grew faster. It grew at the rate of 1 plus the square root of 2, 2.414. As opposed to the golden ratio, which is 1.618. So there are a lot of properties that are different about that series of numbers, but be that as it may, not to digress too much, so I think what Charlie wanted me to do was emphasize gold, because the other thing he called the higher self, in which the soul was united with through that gold beam connection, was that the analogous term to the higher self, the other term he used was the divine mind, cosmic mind. The ability for our mind to think on a cosmic scale, much less a global scale, you know, which environmentalists will want us to think in terms of, but in terms of liberation from the wheel of necessity, the wheel of birth and death, of rebirth, the wheel of rebirth, as the Gita, Bhagavad Gita calls it. You know, it's something I tend to forget. The whole point of transcendental meditation is to transcend death, to step aside from the body when death occurs and let the body die, because we've already developed our connection to Akasha, in which we have acquired a space body, a body of the ether, the body of Akasha. And that body is immortal. It is non-corruptible. So then we'd have two nervous systems, the physical corporeal body and the non-physical body of Akasha. So when the corporeal body dies, now we just have one nervous system, and it's permanent. It's eternal, because it's totally divine in its nature, and it's even beyond the higher self. But interacting, how divinity interacts with the various planes of existence, in particular the grossest plane here, the physical plane, is through, ideally, through the higher self. So the higher self is the expression of divinity in its idealistic form. So how would divinity express itself? It would express itself through us as our higher self, which has the property of a mind which thinks cosmically, not globally, not galactically, beyond all of that, beyond the galaxy, beyond spatially, I mean, at the very least, spatially, Akasha. It thinks in terms of Akasha, which, you know, in the nomenclature of the 1800s is the ether, the etheric plane, if you want to deal with it that way. I mean, if you go to the translation books, the Sanskrit English dictionaries from the 1800s, if you go back far enough, they translate Akasha as ether. But if you go into the current day translation, now it's rendered as space. So that's relativism for you, having its impact. Anyway, so gold would augment awareness, or attention, I should say, the attention of awareness, on the higher self, to live the ideal, to live the cosmic, to live the divine plan that is for me through my nervous system, rather than getting caught up with the body, because Charlie would say that silver binds the soul to the body through an emotional tie. So when we say that drinking silver colloid can exacerbate an emotional condition, and this was something Peter Lindemann wrote about several years ago that's on the internet, I immediately knew what he was talking about. He was talking about exactly what Charlie Lutz had said about the silver beam connecting the soul to the body at the heart. It's the connection is the heart, feelings, emotions. That's why silver, the physical properties of silver is analogous to the silver beam, which is not a physical thing. It's just a connection, a very fine, subtle body connection between the body and the soul. It's got to be pretty subtle, because the soul is pretty subtle. The soul is, you know, anyway, I don't want to divert too much. So, silver involve us. Emotions involve us, while gold evolves us. So the opposite of evolution is not the devil. The opposite of evolution is involvement. And wouldn't you know it, it's so uncanny, the only way to get evolved is to get yourself involved. Because the only point of getting ourselves involved with Maya, with illusion, is to have something with which to compare in opposition as a point of counterpoint with God. How could we know what God is if we did not know what the opposite of God is? If we did not become involved with the opposite of God, intimately involved with the delusional characteristic of Maya, thinking that Maya is reality, when it is completely, from the standpoint, at any rate, you know, when you're in it, it's real, obviously, but when you're out of it, it's anything but real. So it all depends upon your reference point. At any rate, so silver involves us via emotions. So it's going to get us to care about the body because it's going to get us to feel. That's why it works. So if the person is becoming a little spacey from a little too much meditation, then silver might be a good idea. Because although the person will look weird to other people because of that spacey condition mixed with intensification of emotion, yet it's the first step at making sure that the body doesn't fail you before you reach enlightenment. That would be kind of a sucky condition. The whole point of having a body is to reach enlightenment. It's the vehicle through which we experience reality, but it's also the vehicle through which we transcend this so-called reality to get to the true reality, the Satchitananda of our divine nature, beyond even our ideal self, beyond even cosmic mind, which is merely the expression of divinity within the field of so-called reality, the field of Maya, at its most refined idealistic level. So we have these two aspects, and they're both important to the soul. So Charlie wanted to emphasize the goal because he wanted to emphasize enlightenment, because that was his gift to me, was not to maintain the body necessarily except by way of exclusion. So he had me on a very limited diet, wheat and vegetables, and that was about it. I could use lemon and cayenne pepper and hot peppers. In fact, he favored the idea of me making use of hot peppers, although I wasn't fond of them. He liked the idea, and I think I know why, because hot spicy food helps to give you a sense of humility, something I lack, be that as it may. Now, in my deteriorating conditions, Charlie's not around, and he did a lot of sharing, not just of knowledge, but of energy, and he didn't do it for everybody, and I made the mistake of sharing this with somebody, and then his eyes lit up. He's helping you in this way? He can help me! And, you know, Charlie didn't want to do this for everybody, because it would probably be a drain on him, but he did do it for some people, and he shared his knowledge with everybody. And in a generic sense, he did share his energy with all of us, but in a generic sense. At any rate, he's not around, and when he left LA and went to Arizona with his wife to retire, it took a year for my vibration to drop, and psoriasis developed in various parts of my body, and it's been there ever since. And worse things have happened, too. I mean, I've just been deteriorating. So his vibration literally kept degradation at bay. And so I didn't have to do a whole lot to stay healthy, even though, you know, I had defects, congenital defects, but he did a lot just by being in LA, you know, and coming to see him once a week on Friday night for a group meditation and a lecture, two group meditations actually, and chit-chatting. It helped raise our vibrations to have that group meditation, but it also helped to associate with Charlie because it helped raise our vibrations. And that kept us in the pink, so to speak, when it comes to health. When I was among 400 plus meditators in Iowa at Fairfield at the Maharishi International University there, I was never sick when I was there. Unless I drank a wheatgrass juice all at once, like 12 ounces all at once, I felt like a dry heave. That was my fault for drinking so much wheatgrass juice all at once. But I got sick going home for Christmas break one time, and I decided never again am I taking advantage of Christmas break to go home. I could have gone elsewhere with my fellow students. I should have. I elected not to. Some went to Florida during spring break and whatnot, but I never went home for vacation because I knew I was going to get sick. And in very end, when I went back to campus, I got well again. And I knew it was going to turn out that way. The vibrations kept my body out of trouble. So now I don't have that, and I have to actually take care of the body because I don't want my body to fail me. I want to continue to live, to continue to meditate and act and be in the world, and grow in consciousness and experience and whatnot. So I am getting involved with silver, but now I'm suspecting I should start to get involved with gold and blend the two, so that when I do the circuits, I make use of both gold and silver. Both. But because of my agedness, it was not a bad thing, I don't think, to start off with silver first. And who knows, maybe I'll end up favoring gold eventually. Maybe gold is good enough, you know? Can't hurt to try, certainly. Anyway. So, I think that's what I wanted to finish that thought on silver, about its augmentation of emotion. It's more than just the physiological level that Peter Lindemann talks about. It's also on the level of the soul, that it augments our involvement with the body through the intensification of emotion, the emotional aspect of experience, of how we view our experience, our perception of experience, as opposed to the other way we can look at it, our experience from the vantage point of divine mind, cosmic mind, which gold would favor. But as we know from historical precedents, the conquistadors became very greedy over the gold of the Incas. So you've got to be ready for gold, you know? If you're not ready for it, you can go nuts. Literally. I would imagine that's the case. Because of too much emotionalism, too much involvement with the material world. That's probably why. You have to have a certain spiritual basis, a certain detachment, a certain aloofness. Not a whole lot, but at least some, to probably properly evaluate the value of gold in our life. Otherwise, it would probably be misinterpreted as just another fancier version of silver. Because that's literally, if we look at everything with the eyes of emotion, then that's all we'd see gold as. Something very classy. Okay, that's nice. But no, it's cosmic in its orientation. If we don't get that, then we don't deserve to get involved with gold and not go crazy over it, over its allure. It has an allure there for a reason, to charm us towards the goal of liberation from the wheel of necessity, the wheel of rebirth. But, you know, very often when these subtle impulses of intelligence, of creative intelligence, wells up from deep within ourselves, it gets through so much layers of mud by the time it reaches the conscious recognition level of the mind, it's so distorted in some cases that it's nothing like it was originally. So knowledge is structured in consciousness. And consciousness is the foundation for knowledge. There's no question about it. Change your consciousness, and perception changes, and knowledge changes. Otherwise, you'll still be stuck thinking the same way about the same things, and viewing the world the same way, from the same vantage point, and viewing the same world, the field of view, instead of viewing anything more than what the five senses tell us. Because the recognition of bliss, of Satchitananda, is the recognition of God, along with the simultaneous recognition of so-called reality, Maya, coming through the five senses. So the five senses are giving us one perception of the world, but our soul is, or our mind, is opening up to the reality of this other reality that our soul has a dual vision of, that we may not have that second vision, the vision of something greater than what the five senses are telling us. The soul already is enlightened. The soul is becoming familiar with Maya in the course of our incarnations. And only when enough of the right type of experiences and motives and intentions have been accumulated will it dawn within us the possibility of incarnating into a lifespan in which we actually take seriously why are we here and what are we doing about it. We're here to actually leave here. We came here to leave here. And what are we doing about it? We came here to develop our consciousness such that our mind overcomes matter, because the consciousness, our consciousness, flowing through our mind, makes our mind so powerful that it dominates the physiology and can literally overwhelm it if need be, in a good way, such that what we don't want to suffer does not hurt us. Why should it if we don't want it to? Unless, of course, we elect to take on the suffering of others, that's, again, our choice. A mind should be so established in bliss that it can elect to do that if it should so choose. But it need not have suffering or allow suffering to be forced upon it, because it need not engage in actions in which disaster cannot be avoided, unless, of course, it's the unforgivable, but that's a whole other sidebar. But if it is forgivable, in other words, if it's something that we're engaging in now, today, why should we engage in something that could have any possibility of bringing about disaster later on, unless we have an ego, a blind spot, you know, such as delusional positive thinking? Oh, it's okay, my meditation will protect me. Well, it might protect 2% of you. The other 98% will be beat to a pulp. Sorry, couldn't help but laugh over that one. Okay. Here's another example of why MSM is a complementary ingredient to the use of silver in conjunction with the use of electricity to regenerate the body. There's a book on the subject called MSM, written by, co-written by Marty Zucker and Stanley Jacobs. And in there, there's a little trivial tidbit, not so trivial, in which these elderly ladies were experiencing the benefits of taking MSM, and in a few months or several weeks, they said, oh, well, there's an interesting side effect to taking MSM. Our wrinkles are disappearing. And, you know, isn't wrinkling a sign of old age? And isn't the loss of wrinkling a sign of regeneration? So something's happening there that's augmenting the property of regeneration such that their skin is becoming younger. It's losing wrinkles. And if MSM has any role to play, then wouldn't it make sense to combine MSM in our daily protocol routine of making use of silver, or, for that matter, the electrical circuits of Robert O. Becker? The protocol behind Robert O. Becker's circuits? Kind of makes sense, wouldn't it? Make you stop and think. By the way, the pain in my butt went away. It was in my rectal area, inside my butt, on the inside of my anus. It was a sharp pain, like a dull pain, like some kind of a muscle spasm, let's say. And that's about where I had put the silver electrode. At any rate, I don't know if it's the calcium from the bone meal tablets that I took after I had the pain that helped, because usually that helps with muscle spasms internally. While if I have leg spasms, then I have to take magnesium. Or I also took some MSM capsules. Was that what alleviated the pain? I don't know. But now I'm going to make sure I take MSM regularly, and not just add it to my pot of cooked food. That's too irregular and probably not enough MSM. So in capsule form, I can get it past my tongue. The, you know, weird flavor of MSM does not exactly appeal to me. But in the form of a capsule, I can take as much MSM as I want. And that's why I bought MSM crystals in bulk, was to take it in the bath. But I stopped doing that. And I also stopped taking baths on any kind of frequent basis. So I have to, you know, be flexible. Okay, well, if I'm not going to take MSM through the skin, then I'm going to have to start taking it through the mouth a little more efficiently than merely putting it in a pot of rice, and I'm not cooking rice anymore, so I have to go back to using capsules. So one way or another, I got to make sure I take MSM. It seems to be very important, along with silver. Very important. In fact, the impact which this new and improved version of Robert O. Becker's circuitry applied to the body in a biocircuitry fashion is so powerful I'm not even sure I can do it every day anymore. Because I'm still reeling from yesterday. I mean, the pain in my butt after lunch, that's, you know, like a little over 24 hours later. The ramifications of adjustments, you know, realizing I have to take MSM, which I only now get to realize through karmic pain of my oversight. So I'm still reeling over yesterday's session, and I'm not sure I want to take a session today. So I may start spacing it out, maybe taking the sessions two or three times a week, and allow more time for me to readjust. Because I literally am trying to catch up. I'm literally trying to keep up with the shift in awareness that these sessions are providing. So they're not just regenerating the physiology. Apparently, if they have any impact at all on the physiology, and I do have a circuit, three circuits now, in the area of the head, that means I'm helping to improve the brain, and or the whole area of the brain, so that I can express intelligence more readily. You know, make better decisions, if that's where my intellect is located, according to Ayurveda. Make better decisions about what I put inside my body, or what I fail to put inside my body. So I think I'm going to have to space it out, because I need more time to make adjustments and to gain the benefit of changing my habits, so that when I get into these sessions, I don't feel like I'm so stupid. I know better. How come I'm not doing better? Well, I'm waiting for the change in my doing better to catch up and have some effect. So maybe I don't want to do the session every day. You know, all these things have ramifications, and it starts to stretch me out or overwhelm me such that I want to stretch things out so that I have time, adequate time, to deal with action and its repercussions. And these sessions are really making an impact on me. There's no question about it, in a very good way. I mean, how else could I come up with this idea of to come up with a second version of the earthing enhancement device if it wasn't for the fact that for the last 2 days I've been sticking silver up my butt, along with 3 days of putting it in my mouth, a silver electrode, and passing it, for the most part, a mild current, although the first time when I had silver electrode in my mouth, I was simply grounding my mouth to the earth. But now I'm passing a mild current, and it's shifting my intelligence. It's literally making me smarter about how poorly I've been taking care of myself, and how important it is to take better care of myself, and then I don't have to work so hard, you know? So that might be why I don't want to do the sessions every day. Because I'm already changing my habits, so I'm no longer my own worst enemy. I'm actually helping myself for a change. It's not enough to take supplements. It's about all the other stuff that we should not be taking into our body, that we're doing anyway, because it's a bunch of bad habits. You know, maybe I don't like to watch TV, because I know what influence TV has. You know, broadcast TV. It's not like it used to be 40 years ago. It was actually pleasant to watch TV. Back in the 70s, we were actually smart enough to have smart programming on the air, such as it was. It did have its limitations, but we didn't get distracted with CGI. We actually had story, characterization. Anyway, enough said. So it's not enough to do a few good things, or even several mildly good things. We have to stop doing the bad things, and that takes care of a lot of shit. Oh boy. And it was my oversight not to take MSM. And you know why? Because whenever I took MSM, when I would eat granola, I would get gas and gas cramping. And so that tended to discourage the volume of MSM that I wanted to take. I ended up taking less, and then I rarely or barely took any. But I'm not supposed to be eating something sweet like granola. So, talk about not diagnosing the situation properly, and hence not making the right decision. On a poor diagnosis, a poor evaluation, a poor evaluation. So it's no wonder my relationship with my body is deteriorating. in the sense that my body is deteriorating due to advanced old age, is because I have not been doing enough. So it's good that I'm studying Robert O. Becker. It's good that I studied Leon Ernest Eamon. It's not enough. It's good that I've studied Clint Ober. It's not enough. And it's good that I studied Stanley Jacob. A little better. I haven't found a use for Royal Raymond Rife yet, but it's in the background of my awareness. So, yeah, the one good thing I got out of studying him was that his contention, or one of his followers, was that disease flourishes in a pH that is anything but neutral. Now, I was taught in bygone years that the ideal is an alkaline body. But according to Royal Raymond Rife, that's not the case. A neutral pH is the ideal, not alkalinity. So there you go. Whatever. Anyway, I'll leave it at that. Ever since I first learned about the balance of sulfur to phosphorus, the balance, you know, I was looking for the chemical foundation of what's the difference between beans and grains. And I felt it was the predominant nature of beans to be rich in sulfur and the predominant nature of grains to be rich in phosphorus. And not their amino acid composition. I thought that was, you know, like trivial distraction. Well, we know from looking at the mitochondria that ATP is a phosphorus compound. DNA is a phosphorus compound. Where's the sulfur in all of this? It is not emphasized. It's there, but it's not emphasized in terms of our understanding or perception of the matter. But I feel it's the problem is that phosphorus may be our structure at our most innate level of being, physiologically speaking, but that's because sulfur is one of these cast-off ingredients that the body uses that is very integral to its actions, more so than to its structure. In other words, it gets discarded in the course of being used. So it's easy for us to think and avoid thinking about sulfur, to think that you just overlook it. But that doesn't make it any less important. We know the value of balancing grains with beans, and so we balance phosphorus with sulfur. Now why is that? Because phosphorus is the energy component of the mitochondria, the ATP. Okay, fine. So what does sulfur represent? Rest. Don't you ever notice when you eat beans how, like, slovenly lazy you get to feel? It isn't just the gas you're making, you know, the sulfide, the hydrogen sulfide that's stealing the oxygen from your blood. It's the nature of sulfur is to relax. Now, what did MSM do to those little old ladies? It melted their wrinkles. It relaxed the skin. The failure of the skin to have elasticity is the failure of the skin to relax. In other words, when the skin tenses up permanently, it acquires a wrinkle, see? Because it's non-elastic. It's like a permanent state of tension. So sulfur relaxes the body. And so the value of sulfur is the value of rest. And what did Maharishi teach? Don't throw the javelin. Don't run, you know, don't get a running start and then throw the javelin. Isn't it a whole lot easier to just stand still and pull back on the bow before you release the arrow? And the further you pull back on the bow, the farther that arrow will travel. And all you did was stand still. You didn't even have to get a running start to send it forward. So this is the value of archery over javelin throwing, in that it takes less energy to send an arrow than it does to throw a javelin, because you're not intent on throwing. You're intent on pulling back before you release. And you don't even throw. You just pull back and release. And that's literally what yoga is all about. It's not about action. I mean, unless you're into karma yoga. But the meditation aspect of yoga is the opposite of karma, the opposite of action. It's pulling back. It's nivrittatvam. Retire. Transcend. Pull back. And then when you engage in activity, your physiology will be so much more efficient that it'll be able to avail itself of energy more abundantly, with less effort. instead of making a lot of effort to make use of energy. Because it does cost energy to make use of energy. And so wouldn't we want to improve the intelligence aspect of creative intelligence in order to make use of energy more efficiently rather than simply getting more energy? And that's, I think, the value of sulfur that has been overlooked. The value of intelligence, the value of rest. So that when we get engaged in activity, engaged in the use of phosphorus, we'll use it more efficiently. But of course, we can't do that without more oxygen. And so, it is a little bit more complicated than just sulfur and phosphorus alone, obviously. But sulfur is part of the picture, and it's kind of an unsung hero. And so I'm trying to sing its heroic valor, values. The valuable values of the valor of sulfur. Besides all of that, MSN is one of the 6 ingredients that are known to cure a person of argyria, which is analogous to preventing argyria in the first place. So wouldn't you want more MSM in your life? I mean, you would think that I would have been rigorously consuming more MSM by this time. I haven't. I am so dumb. I have been adding kelp to my diet. Okay, that's some intelligence. Kelp is one of the 6 ingredients to get rid of argyria. MSM is one of the other 6. And so is vitamin C. And so is selenium and vitamin E. And what am I missing? Kelp, MSM, vitamin C, selenium, vitamin E. Wait a minute. Kelp, MSM, vitamin C, selenium, vitamin E. Kelp, vitamin C, MSM, selenium, vitamin E. I'm missing something. Oh, right. B100. Yeah, I ordered that. Oh, and I think it arrived. I didn't open up the box yet. Yeah, I have a B complex, but I noticed that 2 or 3 of those B vitamins are not up at the 100 range. And that was the stipulation for that recipe for curing oneself of argyria. The one ingredient, that one ingredient was B100 specifically. So I thought, okay, it's not good enough that I merely went and got from Thorn Research that very ergonomically user-friendly B complex, in as much as the fact that it had the various B vitamins in very good form. Such as the B12, for instance, was in the form of methyl cobalamin rather than cyanocobalamin, whatever. So I went and ordered a B100, trying to be careful about its various ingredients. Oh yeah, folic acid is no good, but folate is the correct form to take the fol in. So various things like that. That I was trying to pay attention, but I didn't think I needed B100 because I thought I would just be wasting it. But I overlooked the fact and forgot that it was one of the 6 ingredients in that recipe for getting rid of argyria. So if I'm going to be taking extra silver into my physiology, I should be taking these 6 other items of interest to prevent argyria, you would think, right? I mean, it would be the smart thing to do. I mean, why retain silver in the body if I don't have to, if I can just flush it out continually, and then take any amount of silver I want, in any form I want, and not worry about it. So, yeah, so the B100 I ordered, the vitamin C in the form of a combination vitamin C, glutathione, and cysteine, and then the third thing was vitamin E. I only ordered a 400 IU variety. The recipe delineates 1,000 IUs and 3 of them a day. And also selenium. I bought a organic selenium, a chelated selenium. So that should be all have arrived in those 2 boxes from Amazon today. But I already have the kelp, and I have not been making use of MSM, though, and that's my error. Very poor judgment on my part. So I have it now prominently out instead of in the cupboard hidden. And I'm going to order some more MSM capsules because I have plenty of the powder. I even have a variety of MSM crystals in bulk. I already have the human grade which is 4 nines fine, but I also have 3 nines fine that I got from an equestrian supply for horses, because I was going to use it in the bath. It was a cheaper variety of bulk, because bulk for human use is quite expensive. Anyway, I've got all this MSM and I'm not using it, the point being. Because I didn't properly evaluate the situation. Well, I think silver is forcing me to evaluate the situation, that I've got to say. So that's one of the reasons why I want to put off another session, is because I don't want, you know, pain due to the fact that I'm not taking enough MSM. So I'm taking all of this bone meal, maybe, but I find sometimes it does not alleviate internal cramping, no matter how much bone meal I take. And I was like, not dawning on me, like, duh, like, what am I doing wrong? What am I, you know, maybe it's because I'm not taking enough MSM. That could be. So I'm keeping my phosphorus ingestion down because I'm eating beans and potatoes, which are very low in phosphorus by comparison to grains. I still eat dairy products, so there's a lot of phosphorus there, although there's also some sulfur as well. And today at lunch, I noticed the cashew butter did not agree with me. And that might be why I had a little pain in my butt. And a little pain in my stomach as well. So I might have to give up cashew butter for the time being. I'm finding myself giving up a lot of things. But when I had the sour cream, oh my god. That agreed with me very well. So I guess I just have to substitute sour cream in place of cashew butter. The jury is out on whether or not tahini is going to cause problems, because I haven't been really eating tahini or cashew butter on a regular basis the past few days. I've been sticking to yogurt and sour cream. Occasionally I'll have cheese, but I really haven't been eating cheese on a regular basis either. But I've really been going gung-ho over sour cream. Oh my god, it's like, oh, it's like ambrosia. Wow, it really hits my physiology just the right way. I love it. It's like long overdue. So apparently MSM is long overdue as well. So anyway, I got my act to clean up before I start dipping into another session. I'm not too hasty to do another bio session at the moment, so I'm just going to have to wait, I think. Probably put it off till tomorrow.